Let's move on towards our sermon. Why this church? Why are we here? You already heard it. We're to be the light of the world. So you've got the main point. Now you can relax and enjoy the rest of the sermon. But why is Redeemer Presbyterian Church here? Why are you a part of it? Why are you here? What are you to do? What are we to be about? What's your role? The overarching reason we're here is to fulfill the Great Commission. I asked Alex, so what was the one verse that you could think of that, you know, why y'all started the church? He said, well, it all goes back to the Great Commission. You know, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Go and make disciples of all the nations. So if you look at the top, you'll see how the purpose statement of this church, which, again, a group really sat and thought through. Redeemer Presbyterian Church is a congregation that exists to assist people to faith in Jesus Christ and to grow them into his fully functioning followers. That's putting putting some feet on the Great Commission. So what are we? We're a congregation, the people of God who are called together in worship. That's what a congregation is, people of God called together. To do what? To assist people to faith in Jesus. Well, to do that, we do evangelism. We need to share Christ in all ways, in means, in the brigades, all the different works, the classical school, everything. It means evangelism of all types in the Holy Spirit, to call people to Jesus. And then to do what with them? To grow them into his fully functioning followers. It's interesting that Jesus said, go and make disciples. Not go and make converts. But go and make disciples. So discipleship and multiplication is what this church is about. But I want to get a little more specific. I want us to unpack that a little bit. I want to use some of the passages that Philip read earlier. I'll come back to it. And Shona, I added some in there so it wasn't that you messed the PowerPoint up. So don't worry about that. It wasn't you. It was me. It's usually me. But in the passages that Philip read from Isaiah, we see that Israel was to be God's vehicle through whom the Messiah would be born. So they would be the vehicle. The Messiah would come through them. But they were also to be a light for all the nations to proclaim the salvation of God to the ends of the earth. And what's interesting about these passages is that they were written at a time, it was a difficult time for the nation. Assyria had come in. They had wiped out the northern kingdom. They were still on the move, and God had delivered Jerusalem from an attack. But Babylon was coming. The Babylonians were gaining power, and they would soon wipe out Assyria, and then they would come, and they would conquer Jerusalem, and they would take it away. And so the second half of the whole book of Isaiah is he's talking about, what are you going to do when the Babylonians come? How are we going to live? What are we to do? And so in the midst of the struggles, what's interesting, in the midst of the struggles, let me get to my slide, in the midst of really the being destroyed, but in the midst of God's judgment, in the midst of struggles, in the midst of a war coming on, he still called his people to be what? To be a light for the nations. He called them to be a light to the nations so that salvation may reach the ends of the earth, that the ends of the earth may come to know you. So in the midst of struggle, in the midst of strife, in the midst of a hard time, they were still to be an example to the nations and to draw people to them, like us today. It's there's struggles in life. There's things going on in the world that are difficult right now. Yet God calls this church to be a people who are a light to the nations, who draw people unto himself. So they were to be a light to the nations, bringing salvation to all the peoples of the earth. So who is this light? Who is this one? I am the Lord who have called you in righteousness, and I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant to the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. This is Jesus. This is what he did. And in verse 6, the next verse it says, and it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and bring back the preserved of Israel. I'll make you a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. God says, you know, it's not just enough to save the people of Israel. We're going to take the gospel, we're going to take the message to the whole earth. All the nations are going to benefit. All the nations are going to benefit. Well, Jesus fulfilled this when he says, I am the light of the world. The light came into the world. And he says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And he gave us the church, the task of both being light and proclaiming the light of Christ and carrying it to the ends of the earth. So I want to use some of these themes of darkness and light this morning to dig a little deeper into why this church exists. Why is our Redeemer Presbyterian Church here? What are we supposed to be about? Let's pray. Father, open our hearts, our minds to your word. Oh Lord, may we see both the incredible blessings you have given us to call us out of darkness, but also that we live in a world of darkness and we are to proclaim the light and be the light to this world. Amen. Jesus proclaims, interesting, he says, I'm the light of the world. And then he turns around and says, you are the light of the world. I'm the light of the world, but you are also the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. I came and I lived and I attained salvation. I did my part. I'm the light of the world. I came and I scattered the darkness. But now it's your job, your role, to be that light, to carry on what I have did to the world, to take the message, a message of hope, a message of hope, because we've been joined to him, and we take the message of light to the world with our words and our good deeds before men. So we have the message that we take, but also the means is that we have this church to take the gospel to the world. Why do we need to do this? Why? Why take the message to the world? Well, I'll give you some quick things to think about. The world is in darkness. The world is in darkness. The world we live in is in darkness. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. The cosmic forces in this present darkness. The world is, in a sense, in darkness. And sometimes we might think, oh, well, you know, it was doing pretty good till a few years ago. The world was doing pretty good. The economy was going along. Now the world just seems like it's in chaos. Things have gone wrong. COVID's hit. There's social unrest. There's violence all over the world. Things are happening. We don't know what's going on. The world has just become a mess. But actually, the world has been a mess for a long time. It's been a mess since Genesis chapter 3. It's been a mess since Genesis chapter 3. Because we forget that we're all part of a struggle that began then. When Satan tempted Eve and she fell, what did God say was going to happen? There would be eternal, there would be a conflict that Satan would try to destroy mankind. He can't defeat God, but he can try to destroy us. And he can try to hurt us. That there would be conflict. There would be turmoil in the world. That Satan would seek to bring darkness into the world. There would always be a struggle. And that's going to go on until Jesus Christ comes again. So the world, in a sense, is under the darkness of attacks by Satan, the darkness of the world. The world needs light. The world needs light. Well, also people's hearts are in darkness. People's hearts are in darkness. It says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Their foolish hearts were darkened. He goes on in 2 Corinthians. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So even though people might want to find God, their hearts are in darkness. They're bound to sin. They can't see Jesus. They can't find him. Their hearts are bound. They're in darkness. What do they need? Well, they need light. They need light. And also people are walking in darkness. People are walking in darkness. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. People are lost. People in this world are lost. They're trying to find their way. They're trying to find their way if they can, but they can't really find their way. They can't find their way. Try all sorts of pleasures and things that the world has to offer, but ultimately they don't fulfill. They're fun for a while, but they don't fulfill. They're not all bad things. Being successful is not bad. Achievement is not bad. A career, possessions, they're all, none of those are bad in themselves. But when they try to get their meaning from them, when they try to find purpose in life from them, they come up empty. And that's what people are trying to do, and they're walking in the darkness. These things don't fulfill, and they can't figure out why. They can't figure out why. Why is it that I made it to the top of my profession, and I still don't feel like I'm anything? They just don't fulfill. They have everything they want, yet they're unhappy. Here in Australia, here in Perth, Perth is a great place to live. It's a wonderful city. There's so much to do. It's Australia. It's a great place to live, yet our mental health system is overloaded. Drug abuse is on the rise. Why? Why? Because people are walking in darkness. What do they need? They need the light. Fourth thing that we need to think about. Many people are prisoners in the dark dungeons of guilt and shame. They're weighed down with sin. They're weighed down with guilt and shame. They know they've done wrong. And for many, their past failures haunt them. I've done wrong. That's what guilt is. I've done wrong. And then shame creeps in. Shame creeps into their life. The difference in shame and guilt is this. Guilt says, I've done bad things. I've done bad things. Shame says, when I look in the mirror, I see that I am bad. I am bad. So you can have a person, you can be forgiven. You can say, oh, but I'm forgiven of those things. But I still feel the shame because I'm just a bad person. They feel their guilt. They feel their shame. So either way, guilt and shame are devastating and can plunge a person into deep darkness of the soul. What do they need? They need light. They need light. There are many people that feel trapped and they're prisoners. They need light. What's our message? What's our message? Well, overall, our message is this. What's the answer to all these things? Jesus. Jesus. I am the light of the world. The answer to every one of these things begins with Jesus Christ. That's our message. That's what we proclaim. That's what we talk about, is the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is. So Jesus is our message. You know, I am the light of the world. So it all begins with him. The answer to all these four things I mentioned begin with Jesus Christ. Because he said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And he says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous life. Isn't it amazing, Christian? You've been called out of darkness into the amazing and glorious light of Christ. You've been made a part of his kingdom. You are different. You're called. You belong to him, and you've been called out of that darkness into the light of Jesus Christ. And that's what people need to understand. That's what they need to see, because the world needs the light of Christ. The world needs the light of Christ because it's living in darkness. You know, Jesus has come. He's defeated the cosmic powers of this present darkness. He's broken the power of sin. Satan is a defeated foe. And people need to know that, and we need to know that. We need to learn how to live that. That Satan is defeated. He's going down. He's going down. His power is broken. That we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That we can do what? Proclaim the mighty acts of him who called us out of darkness. Think about the blessing. You don't have to walk in darkness. as a Christian, you're not living an aimless life. You're not living an aimless life just bumbling from this to that. You've been called out of darkness. You can see your way around. You can see your way around. This is for all who believe. We need to tell the world this. The world this. Yet we still live in a world surrounded by darkness, don't we? That's why we need this church. That's why you need this church, whatever church you're going to. That's why you need Christian friends. That's why you need a covenant family. That's why you need a community. Because we're still surrounded by darkness. And it nags us, doesn't it? It tries to drag us down. It does drag us down from time to time. So we need this church. Because we live in a world of darkness. We've been called out of it as the church of God. So we need each other. We need fellowship. Also, people's hearts are in darkness. People's hearts are in darkness. What's God's solution? I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new heart. It says, and I will give you a new heart and new spirit I will put in you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Heart of stone to a heart of flesh. So God gives us a new heart. That's his solution. People's hearts are in darkness. God says, okay, I'll just give you a new one. I'll give you a new one. I'll make you alive in me. Ephesians tells us this, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, because we were by nature children of wrath. Why? Because our heart was by nature a wrathful heart. It was rebellious against the Lord. But what did God do? But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. What did God do? He brought you alive. He brought you alive even when you were dead, even when your heart was in darkness. He pulled you out of that. He's given you a new heart, and he's made you his. God being rich in mercy. It's all by grace. It's all by his grace. And that's what we proclaim to people. Just believe. Just follow the Lord. Come to follow him. It's not by works. It's by grace. So we can't modify the heart. People need what? A new heart. They need to come to repentance. They need to come to conversion in the Lord. Well, people are walking in darkness. People are walking in darkness. Acts says when Paul is before Agrippa, he's defending himself and he explains his ministry that God has given him. And he says, God gave me the ministry to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith. Who are sanctified by faith. How many of us can testify to this? I was in darkness. I didn't know the Lord. I was in darkness. I was headed down a bad road, a bad path. But then my eyes were opened. My eyes were opened and I understood. I understood the gospel. I understood what it was about. I saw Jesus and I started following him. So people are walking in darkness. What do they need? They need the light of Christ. They need to be able to see. They need their eyes opened to see their sin and follow him. To see their sin and follow him. That's our confidence. Confidence. Isn't it great that we just go out and share the gospel and we trust the Lord that he brings about salvation. He brings about the change in people's lives. Even when they're walking in darkness and they're blind, he opens their eyes and he saves them. Many people are prisoners in dark dungeons of guilt and shame. What does God say to that? What's our message? What light do they need? They need the light of Scripture. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. So far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. That's the message people need to hear. They need to hear, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. It's in the past. It's gone. God has forgiven you. He emphasizes this. Paul emphasizes in Romans, in Romans 5, he says, the people who say, yeah, but you don't know my sin, it's pretty bad. Paul writes this, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Jesus Christ has a bottomless reservoir of grace that he desires to give to sinners like you and me, and sinners who think he could never forgive me for what I've done. Not only does he forgive, he says this, you're a new creation. You're a new creation. If anyone is Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. The new has come. As we look to Christ, what do we see? We see a Savior who's willing to give us his grace. He's willing to say, I forgive you, who endured the cross. And that takes away our guilt, but he also takes away our shame. Because Scripture tells us, Jesus says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ knows what it's like to feel shame, upon himself. But he endured it. He endured it for you and for me. And Jesus says to the person feeling shame, he says, you're not the person you were. When you look in the mirror, don't say, but I'm still no good because of what maybe you did or maybe what happened to you. Maybe you were a victim. Maybe it was something, someone else's sin that's all over you and makes you feel shame. But Jesus Christ says, you're not what you were done, and you're not what was done to you. You are a new creation in Christ. You're a new person. You're a new person. When Jesus said, when Scripture writes that you're a new creation in Christ, it's the same word back in Genesis. God created all out of nothing, and he made it new, and you are too. These people need, this is the message of Christ. They need the light of salvation. So Christian, this morning, I want us to remember, we have a glorious message to give. We have a wonderful story. We have a great message to tell to our friends and to share of people that Jesus Christ has come into this world of darkness, that he's light. He is the light. He's the key to it all. That he's come in the world, he's dispelled the darkness. He's enlightened my eyes and hearts. He's guiding, and he's given us his word to guide us. We have a wonderful story to tell, a powerful story. So let us be bold to proclaim our message as this church. It's what we're here about, to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, to proclaim the message our friends need to hear, that Jesus Christ saves sinners. That's our message. Jesus Christ saves sinners. The gospel message, Paul says, is the power of God to change lives. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. Think about that. Just the gospel message, the words you speak, when applied by the Holy Spirit, said they are the power of God to change lives. How amazing is that? How amazing is that? There's almost no greater power. I mean, then to look at someone's life and see it was changed. It was made different. It was made different. And that's not all. End on this. Because we know that this world is not all there is, don't we? Not only do we have the good news of this world for our friends and for us and to live in this world, but we've got hope because there's a new world to come. There's a new world to come. Our hope is in the future and in eternity. There'll be a new heavens and a new earth, and to carry the idea of light on, Revelation tells us there'll be no need of the sun or the moon because the glory of God will give light. The glory of God will give light. And who's the light coming from? Who's this lamp? It's Jesus Christ. So he's the light of the world now, and he'll be our light for all eternity. That's our hope. That's what pursuing. That's what your future is. Your future is. So what a future. And what a hope. What a glorious and wonderful message we have at Redeemer Presbyterian Church to give to the world, to share with the world around us. It may be in darkness, but we've got a message because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Go tell people about me. Let's pray.